Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Grateful for the opportunity to be with you this week. It's been a while coming. Actually, during COVID, I think we had plans then, and all my meetings got canceled there for a year, but glad that this has come to fruition, a time that I've been looking forward to be with the good church here, to be with Steve and his family, and appreciate him, known him for several years, and the work that he does for our Lord, and appreciate all of you for the invitation to be here with you this week. As I said, a time that I've been very much looking forward to, and thank God it has finally arrived. I encourage you to take out your Bibles. I had a little technical difficulty. There's not going to be any slides, but as I was telling Steve earlier, I've preached for, I guess, 30 years plus as far as what I've been preaching. So I've used chalkboards, whiteboards, overhead transparencies, nothing at all. PowerPoint, so I'm good with anything or nothing. So you just need to follow along with me a little more carefully in these things. But generally, I'll tell you, you're not missing much. PowerPoints I use mostly like a whiteboard just for my main points is all you'd see up there anyway. But as you take out your Bibles, this morning I want to begin with a question. How many of you have been blessed in this life? All of us. All of us have been blessed richly. There can be no doubt about that. Especially as we think in terms of the rest of the world around us, we realize that we lived in a very blessed country, a very blessed society, and even the least among us would have much more than many people in this world. We have been truly blessed, and all of us should be able to say that very confidently, that we have been blessed. And I, no doubt, have been blessed by God in so very many ways. But as I think about the fact that I've been blessed and that you've been blessed, I think it's important that we consider how we should regard those blessings that we've received from God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is how I should regard my blessings. Now, I know this is set aside as a class time. I may ask some questions. Feel free to answer those. If you have any comments, just raise your hand, something like that. I'll acknowledge you along the way. I like the interaction if it's possible for us to have that. But as we consider the idea of how should I regard my blessings, the first thing I want you to appreciate is that I should regard my blessings as just that, as a blessing. The word blessing essentially means a benefit that is bestowed. And I need to recognize that my blessings that I enjoy in this life are benefits that have been bestowed upon me. That is, they have been given to me. It's important for us to recognize that. I think many times we consider the blessings that we have in this life as things that we have earned or that we have brought about in some way or another by our own hand, instead of seeing those as being things that have been given to us. If you were to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17. Here the children of Israel are about to, under the leadership of Joshua in the next book in the Bible, cross over the Jordan River to conquest the land of Canaan. And as they go into that land, God promises them things that they did not work for. They're going to be richly blessed in that land. And Moses warns them, and he says that they need to be careful that they didn't fall into this. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. There was a concern that they would think that all the benefits that had been bestowed upon them in the promised land, all the blessings that they had been given, had come from their own hand. There's a danger for that in us today. Someone begins to think, well, the things that I enjoy in this life, I worked hard for those things. Well, you may have done your part, but still, those are a gift. They are a blessing. Somebody might say, well, you know, I went to school, or I worked my way up the ladder, or whatever the ideas may be as to why they have the things that they have. But we need to recognize that everything that we enjoy in this life, which is good, is a blessing. It is a benefit that has been bestowed. It is something that has been given to me. With that in mind, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and notice verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and notice verse 7. There Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and it's a little bit different idea here, but the principle is still the same that we want to appreciate. He asks them the question, for what makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not, or had not rather received it? So notice, he says, what do you have? Now this is talking about a slightly different principle, but in application to our lesson this morning, it still rings true. What do you have in this life that you have not been given? Can you name me one thing that you have in this life that you have not been given? It's not a blessing, it's good. I challenge you to do that. You can. Everything that you enjoy in this life is a blessing that has been given to you. And so then he makes this point, why would you boast as if you did not receive it? It's kind of like I remember, you know, back in school, in high school particularly, somebody's parents would give them a car and they'd come in with their car acting like that was something that they had brought about themselves and boast in that as if that was something that came from their own hand. But the reality is it came from who? Their parents, mom and dad, right? But yet they'd boast as if they hadn't received it, as if it came from them. And we need to be cautious that we always remember that everything that we enjoy in this life that is good, from the least to the greatest, has been given to us. It is a blessing. And when I recognize that, I need to appreciate that that involves the very breath that I breathe, the car that I drive, the clothes that I wear, the place that I live, the family that I have, the job that I'm blessed with, the money that's in my bank account. All of those things are blessings. All of those things have been given to me. Now, did I play a part in those things? Perhaps. But nevertheless, I have received all of those things. All of those things have been given to me. We need to be cautious, even as the Bible warns time and again, that we don't forget that our blessings are just that, blessings, that everything that we enjoy has been given to us, and truly none of those have come from our own hand, by our own hand alone. Everything that we enjoy has been given to us. And that brings us to the second point I want you to consider with me this morning. As I think about how I should regard my blessings, not only should I regard them as blessings, but I should also regard them as coming from God, because God is the one who bestows those benefits. If a benefit is bestowed upon you, there has to be someone who bestows it. And everything good that we enjoy in this life comes from the hand of our great God. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 for just a moment. This time we're going to look at the very next verse, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 17, as we read a moment ago, he said, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth." But then in verse 18, the reminder is there, lest they do that, "And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Notice, lest you begin to think, my hand has accomplished all these things. My hand has brought about all these things. He said, remember the Lord your God. Remember the one who is the source of these blessings. And even as we were talking about before, people think particularly in regard to material blessings, well, I went to school, or I worked hard, or I did this, or I had a bright idea. And all of these things are the reason why I have the things that I have. Not so, because notice how it's pointed out here that God is the one who gives you the power to get what? What's it say in that verse? Wealth. The wealth that you enjoy in this life, and somebody says, I'm not wealthy. Oh, you just look around the globe and I'll assure you, you are wealthy. But here's the reality. The one who gives you the power to be able to work, to be able to labor, to be able to have that job, to be able to enjoy all those things is who? Is God. God is the reason why we enjoy all the blessings that we do. And we need to remember that. Over in Proverbs chapter 10, turn there for a moment. Look at verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Steve, is it okay if I crack open one of these water bottles? Okay. Thanks. Proverbs 10, 22. Would somebody like to read that for us? Okay. Again, you're wealthy, you're rich, but who brought that about? The Lord. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. That is, all the things that I was mentioning earlier that I enjoy, the breath that I breathe, the car that I drive, the clothes that I wear, the place that I live, the family that I enjoy, all of those things came from who? They came from God. God is the one who has bestowed those benefits on me, and I need to remember that very well. James chapter 1 and verse 17 is a verse that comes to mind when you think about this principle. James 1 and verse 17. Someone did good volunteering reading for that last one. How about somebody read this one for us?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of
turn. Okay. First word of that verse is what?
Every.
That is without exception. Everyone from the greatest to the least, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from who? Comes down from God. God is the one who gives us every good gift in this life. There is not one good thing that you enjoy in this life that didn't come from who? Didn't come from God. Every good thing that you enjoy, those things that we mentioned a moment ago and a plethora of other things, all of those things have come from God. God is the one who bestows every benefit on us that we have in this life. God is the one who gives us all of these things to enjoy. And I need to regard my blessings as being things that have come from God, things that I have been given, and realize the source of those blessings, that the source of those blessings is indeed God. The next thing, as we build on this principle, as I think about how I should regard my blessing, is stringing these things together. I regard my blessings as being blessings, that is, they've been given to me. I recognize that they've been given to me by God. And when I recognize they've been given to me by God, here's the third thing I want you to appreciate. I need to regard my blessings as reason for thanksgiving. That I need to be thankful for the things that I have received. Because all my blessings come from God, I should be thankful to Him. Look at Psalm 107. Turn there for me for just a moment. Psalm 107. And as you turn there, I want you to appreciate the words of the psalmist concerning this idea. It's repeated oftentimes through Psalm 107, but notice first in verse 8. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man." Then we come down to verse 15. "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21. "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man." Verse 31. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man." I want you to appreciate that the psalmist in this psalm points out time and again the idea that man should do what? Give thanks. Why do we give thanks to God? Because of His wonderful what? His wonderful works. And part of those wonderful works are the ways that He's blessed us. And we therefore need to be thankful. We need to be giving thanks to God. And as you think about Psalm 107, where that refrain is oft repeated, notice in verse 43, the conclusion of the psalm, when the psalmist says this, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Wisdom is seen in being thankful for the things that God has given you. And we need to remember the importance of being thankful. In fact, let's notice a couple of New Testament passages that emphasize the requirement even of being thankful to God for the things that He has done. Look over at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, somebody go back, verse 18 through verse 20, please. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, if someone would read that.
"And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart for the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God."
Okay, thank you. So as you look at these passages, the reason why I read a little context is one of the ways that we express our thanksgiving is in what? Verse 19. singing. Let me make a little point there, okay? Sometimes singing lacks joy. You ever seen that anywhere? I see people sing a lot of times during the invitation song at home. Sometimes I'll lead singing, not very often, maybe on a Wednesday night, something like that. I'll lead some songs. I see some people out there singing "Be Happy" like their dog just died. Sad expression on their face. Look like they're about in tears. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're singing songs before the Lord's Supper, you might have tears in your eyes because you're moved by the thoughts about Jesus and His sacrifice. But how in the world somebody can sing and be happy with a frown upon their face shows that they may lack some of that joy and some of the thanksgiving. But our thanksgiving should show in the way that we worship God. That's the idea, is that it should show in that way. And I won't go too far on this tangent, but let me tell you, I think sometimes brethren have the wrong idea about things when it comes to worship and it being an expression of joy and thanksgiving to God. Because of this, we see people that lie on the floor, dance in the aisles, and jump over pews, and they're on this extreme, and we say that's wrong, and it is to be wrong to be run on emotion. And so what we do, because a lot of brethren are reactionary, is we run way over here to the other extreme, and we say, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to be stoic and straight-faced, and I'm not going to smile when I sing songs about heaven or really sing out with any joy. And when I sing songs about the Lord's death before His memorial, I'm not going to shed a tear. I'm just going to be straight-faced and as serious as I can possibly be, because I don't want to be like them over there. And we show no emotion in our worship. And the reality is that where we need to be is somewhere right here in the middle, where, yes, we're not run by emotion and jumping over pews and dancing in the aisles, but we're also not over here. We don't express any joy and thanksgiving in our worship. Okay, and I think that's a big thing that we need to recognize and we need to realize. And one of the reasons why that happens is because people are afraid if they were somewhere in the middle where we ought to be, where we do worship with a reverent heart, but at the same time with joy and thanksgiving, we're afraid of what our brethren would think. And we love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so it doesn't exist in a lot of our worship services. I'm not saying about the church here. I haven't even seen you worship in song yet. But, and I'm not going to be judging you, by the way, and say, okay, when I go back home, I'm going to talk about that church I was just at, how emotional they were. That's not what I'm doing. But what I am saying is, I'm saying we need to think about that when we worship, it is an expression of our joy and our thanksgiving to God for the things that He has done. But back to our point of being thankful, notice particularly verse 20, what God expects of us. Just as God expects us not to be drunk, just as God expects us to worship Him in song, God expects us to do this. Giving thanks. What's that next word in verse 20? Always. Now, let's pause there for just a moment. What I want you to appreciate is that we need to be thankful to God for the blessings that He has given us. How often? Always. Here's the reality. I don't care how bad life is treating you. I don't care what you have going on. And don't get me wrong, there are times in this life where our hearts are broken. There are times in this life where we are brought low. There are times in this life when we cry and when we mourn. And that's part of living in this sinful world with all the things that sin has done to this world. That's a reality. But nevertheless, I want you to recognize that always, at every moment in this life, we have the responsibility to be thankful. Because I assure you, no matter what we go through in this life, no matter how terrible it may be, particularly for the children of God, especially for the children of God, we have reason to be thankful even in the midst of those things. By the way, won't turn over there, but isn't that what Jesus taught in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes, when He said, Blessed are you when they persecute you and revile you and cast out your name as evil, all the things that they did. He said to do what in that? Rejoice and be exceedingly what? Glad. Now, that's some unpleasant stuff. You think that hurts you? Sure it would. But He said, in the midst of all that unpleasantness, you still rejoice and be glad. And here's the reason why. Because your name is written in heaven, okay? That's why we can rejoice. That's why we should be thankful in every circumstance of life. Remember that. Be thankful. Give thanks always. But notice this next thing. In verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5, He said, giving thanks always at all times for what? For, what's He say? All things. Everything. Everything that is good in your life, you need to be thankful for. Now, let me say that's a challenge, right? And sometimes it just needs to be, I'm thankful to God for all the ways that He has blessed me. You know, you probably sing that song here, that old song, count your many blessings. Do what? Name them one by one. Good luck with that, okay? If you ever sit down and start trying to write all of your blessings out, you'll get a number of them, but you'll run out of energy to write, if you're honest with yourself, before you get that list completed. There are so many things to be thankful for. But we need to be thankful to God always, and we need to be thankful to God for all the good things that He has blessed us with in this life. God expects His people to be a thankful people. Then look over at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Somebody read that for us, please.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Okay, notice this again. In everything, as we were talking about before, all things, everything here, Paul says, give what? Give thanks. We need to be in everything, always, every day, giving thanks to God. But notice how the end of that is. For this is the what? It is the will of God. You know, when we think about it, and I might make this point a couple of times through the week. In fact, I think this evening, if I don't change my mind, we'll talk about this principle. But here's the thing I want you to think about. Is that if I said, what's God's will for man? People name a lot of things. What are some things you might think about? If I said, what is God's will for man? What does God want man to do? What are some things you think about? Okay, to become a Christian, to obey the commandments, to be baptized, right? All of those things. We name a number of things like that. Are all those correct? They are, right? But what I want you to appreciate is that it is also God's will. This is part of those commandments, by the way, that were mentioned. But it is God's will that you be what? That you be thankful. If you go through this life and you are not thankful to God, let me say this kindly, but it's the truth and you need to hear it. If you go through this life and you're not thankful to God for all the ways that He has blessed you as a child of His spiritually, but also physically, you're not keeping the will of God. You are failing to obey the commandments of God because it is God's will that you be thankful. God wants you to be thankful for all the things that He has blessed you with, all the ways that He has blessed you. In fact, when I think about this, I think about children. I have two daughters. Unfortunately, school and the things back at home, they can't be with me this week. I wish my wife and daughters could be here. I've got an 18-year-old. She just turned 18 a couple weeks ago, and it's hurting me. But then I have a 14-year-old. But as a parent, I do a lot of things and have done a lot of things along the way to bless my children. Okay, to give them things, right? Bestow benefits upon them, which ultimately come from God, I recognize, as we've been talking about this morning. But the thing that warms my heart and means so much to me is when I give my children something, and particularly it warms my heart even more when it seems like something, it's a very small thing, and they say, guess what? Thank you. That does my heart good as a parent because... Now, I know, as I said, all of it's come from God, but I've worked, I've labored, I have things, I give them things, and then when they are appreciative and thankful for the things that I give them, as a father, that makes me feel good. That means so much to me to see that they are thankful instead of just having something given to them and just saying, oh, well, and just moving on. And no doubt, even as we learn these passages, our Heavenly Father desires that His children, because He's blessed us in so many ways, are thankful to Him. Unfortunately, though, some people are not thankful. Would you agree with that? Some people are not thankful. Several years ago, I remember this, and just an example stuck out in my mind. I use it for an illustration occasionally. But back when I lived in Indiana, before I moved to Cookeville, my wife and I were in a Target, and we were walking down one of the aisles, and there was this little girl who was pitching a fit. My wife says, going on strike. She's laying on the ground, okay? And she was pitching a fit, and the reason why she was pitching a fit is because there was something on the shelf that she wanted that her mom told her that she couldn't have. But the thing is, when you looked at the little girl, she already had two things in her hands. Her hands were full of things that her mother was already going to buy her. But she wasn't thankful for those things. Instead, she was upset about the thing that she didn't have. If we're not careful in this life, we end up being like that little girl. God has given us so much. God has blessed us with so much. And sometimes we fail in being thankful to God for the things that He has given us because we're always looking for something else. Good example. I wish I could preach that sermon this week too. I won't. But on the 10 lepers, you remember out of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, how many came back to give Him thanks? Only one. And you know, I've thought about that instance a lot with that event with Jesus and healing those 10 lepers. And when I've thought about it, I've thought about those men who were healed. And you know, being a leper was terrible. Not only was it a terrible disease, but you were excluded. You were away from your family. You were away from your friends. You had to keep a distance from everybody that you held dear in your life. If I was healed from that terrible disease, I'd want to move on to something else. I'd want to go and see my family. I'd want to go and see my friends. I'd want to be touched by another human being in a hug. I would want a lot of things. And as far as I know, the nine that didn't come back to give thanks, they all went on to something else. They were looking for something else. But only one of them recognized that he had been blessed and saw the need to come back and be thankful for it. And we need to remember that we've been blessed with so much. Instead of always looking for another thing or something that we think is going to make our life better or give us real reason to be thankful, we need to spend some time in self-reflection. Consider all the ways that God has blessed us and then be thankful for it. Now, by the way, nothing wrong with letting God know about the things that we want, right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your, you know the next word? Request be made known unto God. And so there's nothing wrong with letting God know the things that I want. But even though I'm making requests to God for the things that I want, the Bible teaches me I must never be negligent to give thanks to God for the things that I already have. And so as we think about how we should regard our blessings, we should regard our blessings as coming from God and as a reason for thanksgiving. I need to give God thanks for all of my blessings. But here's another thing I want you to think about. As we consider how should I regard my blessings, which all of us have, next thing I want you to notice is that I should not regard my blessings as being the whole of life. That is what life is all about. And sometimes people fall into this. They overemphasize their blessings, physical blessings, what I'm talking about. They overemphasize those things, so that's where it becomes what life is all about. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Sometimes we go in to read parables without understanding the setting of the parables, which leaves us a little bit lacking in its understanding. But here you have the parable of the rich farmer. You remember him? Don't know what I'm going to do with all my abundance. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your easy, drink and be merry, right? And we know that, but I want you to notice the setting for this in Luke chapter 12. Would somebody read verses 13 through 15 for us? Okay, so this is a setting for the parable of the rich farmer. And when you consider this, notice that one from the crowd, he's concerned about what? Physical things, his inheritance. He said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, you know, really what business is that is mine? Who made me an arbitrator to settle this dispute about your inheritance with you? That wasn't Jesus' focus. It was, of course, on spiritual things. But then notice with warning that Jesus said, he said in verse 15, this is a warning for us today as well. Take heed and beware. That is, pay careful attention. Be aware of this danger. He said, be aware of the danger of covetousness, a greedy desire to have more. He said, for one's life, this is important, does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. What I want you to recognize as we think about regarding our blessings as something not to be overemphasized in our life is that a lot of people judge the value of their life by the things that they possess. That's how they judge how good their life is the abundance of things that they possess. That's what life is all about. The kind of car that they drive, the kind of house that they live in, the job that they have, the money that they make. All of those things, there are a lot of people that judge themselves by that and think that's what life is all about, is gaining more and more of those things. Now, when we recognize this, we must be aware of this danger. Because though, as we're talking about physical blessings at this point, God has blessed us all in so many ways with those things, that should not be what our life is all about. Because even as you go into the parable of the rich farmer, remember he had this great plan. He was going to say to his soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And then who steps in? The Lord. And God says, "You fool." It's foolish. It's foolish to think that life is all about the things that you possess. He said, "For this night your soul shall be required of you." You see, if we overemphasize the physical blessings to where that becomes what life is all about, as a consequence, we won't be prepared to meet our God. And so we appreciate these things. We're thankful for these things, but we must keep them in their proper regard. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25, the end of that verse, when Jesus is talking about not worrying because God knows your needs and God will supply your needs if you put Him first, He said this in the end of Matthew 6, 25, "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And we need to remember that. Life is about more than the physical blessings that we enjoy. And yes, we enjoy many. Yes, we're thankful for those things. But life is about more than that. Life is ultimately a journey to a greater destination. And we need to remember that. If we're not careful, we can lose perspective. Notice the warnings of 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you turn there with me for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want us to look there beginning in verse 6. Read along with me. Paul said, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men with destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in the greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Let me ask you a question. Is it wrong to be rich? No, it's not. Is it wrong to have an abundance of physical blessings? No, it's not. What is wrong is having the wrong attitude about those things. Notice that Paul says, for those who want to be rich, who desire to be rich, that is your life's ambition. That's what your life is all about, is being rich and gaining more of these physical things. He said that those individuals fall into temptation and a snare and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Those individuals. Money in and of itself is not wrong. When you think about it, money is just paper, right? Having money or metal, paper and metal, that's all it is. Having money, having a lot of money is not wrong. But placing your trust in those things, letting those things become your life's ambition, overemphasis of those things in our life is wrong. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil, where we begin to overemphasize our physical blessings. And we need to be careful about that. Though we have been blessed with those things, though we are thankful for them, I need to be careful not to allow those things to be overemphasized in my life, where that becomes what my life is all about. Two more points. As I consider how I need to regard my blessings, I realize the Bible also teaches me that I need to regard my blessings as something to be shared. God blesses me and has blessed me in so many ways, and I need to be ready to share those blessings. And really, when I think about this, it's interesting, because since God gave me those blessings, if I share those blessings with someone else, that's a way of me, not that God needs my assistance, but let me put it this way, that is a way of me aiding God in blessing someone else. You see that? Didn't really belong to me. God's given it to me. It's a gift. If I share that with somebody else, they're being blessed, but ultimately they're being blessed by who? They're being blessed by God. But I need to see the importance of sharing those things. You ever heard of the word avarice? Do you know what avarice is? Probably not a word you used in the last week. What avarice is a greedy desire to hold on to the things which you already have. My dad said it this way when I was growing up. He said, a man, if he opened up his wallet, moths would fly out. That is, never let go of anything, hanging on to everything that they have and just greedily hoarding the things and never letting them go, never sharing. And that's a danger because the Bible calls upon us to do that time and again. Notice a few passages with me. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, in the context of what we've been talking about, Ephesians 4, 28, Paul said, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that thing which is good. Notice this, that he may have something to give to him who has need. One of the reasons why I work, and from that work God blesses me, is so that I can do what? So I can share that with somebody who has need. So that I can share the blessings that God has blessed me with. That's one of the reasons why I work. Yes, I work to take care of myself and I work to take care of my family. If I don't do that, I've denied the faith and I'm worse than an unbeliever, the Bible says. But it's not only for me and for my family, it's also for me to help others who are in need. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, your Bible may still be open to that. Look there in verses 17 through 19, where he says, command those who are rich in this present age. Remember, it's not wrong to be rich. These are Christians that are rich. Can be some wrong associated with it if you're not careful, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. How do they do good? That they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to do what? Willing to share. Share the things that we have. And remember, context of the world, you're one of those rich people. Share the things that you have. Be willing to share. And when we do that, notice what we're doing. Verse 19. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Does God care whether you share the things that you have been blessed with or not? He most certainly does, because He says that when you do this, you're storing up for yourself a good foundation for that eternal life. And if you don't do that, you're not setting a good foundation. Your eternal destiny as far as being in heaven is on shaky foundation then. So we need to be sharing the things that we have. And then I love Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16, something we all need to be reminded of. But do not forget, don't forget to do this. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let me just say something briefly about sharing. From this passage, one is it must be something that we don't forget to do. It is a learned behavior that is quickly forgotten. Is sharing a learned behavior? It is, because generally you take a baby and they have something that's theirs and they don't want to what? They don't want to share. You got to teach them to share with others. And so it's a learned behavior. We need to be careful not to forget that learned behavior. But notice what he says, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Here's something I want to be honest about. Is it a sacrifice to share? Is it? The verse says it is. It's a sacrifice. Which says sacrifices? I have been blessed, and instead of keeping all those things for myself, I'm going to sacrifice some of the things that I've been blessed with. I'm going to share them with somebody else. It is a sacrifice. But God is pleased with those sacrifices. And we need to be willing to share. In fact, we're going to visit our home, and you're welcome to do that anytime if you make it down to Cookeville. I know probably most of you don't go through Cookeville. It's a couple hours away, 100 miles away. But here's the thing. If you're in my house, we have a sign, and we have it there as a reminder. And when that sign, whenever I read it, I'm reminded of this, and it says simply this. It says, don't just count your blessings, share them. And we need to remember that, the importance of sharing our blessings. I need to regard my blessings as something to be shared. One last point, the last few minutes that we have in our time together in this class. When I think about how I need to regard my blessings, yes, I need to regard them as blessings. I need to regard them as coming from God. I need to regard them as something to be thankful for. I need to regard them as not being what my life is all about. I need to regard them as something to be shared. But here's something I think is oftentimes overlooked. I need to regard them as something to be enjoyed. That I need to remember to enjoy the blessings that God has given me. And here's the reality. God purposes that we should enjoy the things that He has blessed us with in this life. And oftentimes that's overlooked. And a lot of times, and I don't think there's anything wrong with being service-minded, and we have to have that, and thinking about how we might share, we have to have that. But sometimes I see Christians that they've been blessed in some way, and they feel like they have to justify the blessing. Well, with this blessing, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And we need to be doing it, right? Sharing, using it in a good way. But at the same time, I want you to recognize there's nothing wrong with realizing that God has blessed us so that we might personally even just enjoy the blessings that God has given us. Don't you do that for your children? When I think about my kids, I bless them with clothing. I bless them with food. I bless them with a roof over their head. That's the necessities. But I've been blessed in such a way that, thank God, I can bless them with other things and give them other things. And sometimes I just give them something, not because it serves a practical purpose necessarily, not because they can use it in some grand or noble way, but instead I give them sometimes things just so that they can enjoy it. And God does the same thing for us. If your Bible's still open there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice with me again verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Watch this. Who gives us richly all things to what? To enjoy. God blesses you in part so that you can enjoy the blessings that He has given you. The wise man Solomon, if you turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes, notice a few passages with me as we're rapidly running out of time. In chapter 2 and verse 24, he says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. That is, in the blessings that God has given you from your labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. God's blessed you. Enjoy it. Enjoy the things that God has blessed you with. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy all the good of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. God gives it to him. And as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. My point is this, is that yes, share your blessings. Yes, use them for good things, but don't forget to also enjoy them. Because our Heavenly Father blesses us in part so that we can enjoy the good things that He's blessed us with. Don't forget to do that. We are all blessed, and may God help us to have proper regard for our blessings. Hope these things have been helpful to you. I've enjoyed the time in this Bible study. Look forward to the rest of this week. Thanks. Trying to get the right one out. Oops. Thanks. Okay, so slide it down. Hit stop.
Quick learning.
Oops. Did I just put it on hold again?